working as a member of the Communities Putting Prevention to Work evaluation team and is the lead investigator for the CPPW Enhanced Evaluation and the Evaluation of Initiatives to Improve Nutrition and Physical Activity Among Child Care Centers, Leap of Taste, in West Virginia. Good afternoon. The previous two presentations, I think, have been a tremendous lead-in. So now I'm going to kind of take what has been discussed thus far and kind of bring it in to an example of some community-level policy system and environmental change interventions that have been happening in West Virginia as part of the CDC-funded Communities Putting Prevention to Work initiatives in the Mid-Ohio Valley region. First, I have no financial relationships or no disclosures. Just to give a quick overview over the next 10 minutes or so, perhaps 15 if I go a little long, I'll hope to go through and highlight some of the focus and goals of the Communities Putting Prevention to Work initiative in West Virginia, provide some context by going over some of the key demographic characteristics, some of the intervention strategies that have been put in place to specifically increase access and consumption of fruits and vegetables, discuss some of our baseline data collection. So this is a nice follow-up to the discussion of keeping an evaluation and evaluation data a component through your intervention timeline, and then discuss and highlight some of the next steps and lessons learned from our work thus far. The West Virginia CPPW grant has been, a six-county region in West Virginia has been funded under this grant, known as the Mid-Ohio Valley region. The focus of this project has been specifically obesity prevention, with goals such as those related to nutrition to increase the percent of youth and adults meeting guidelines for daily fruit and vegetable consumption. Thus, a major focus for us has been the retail food environment, so improving fruit and vegetable access in relation to food environments such as farmers markets, convenience stores, and grocery stores. So while there have been a number of initiatives doing similar things, and I think a lot of people are probably familiar with the Food Trust and Healthy Corner Stores initiatives, this is particularly interesting and important work because this really targets a very rural environment. Just to highlight some of the demographics, as shown here, the majority of the area has fairly low population density. So as indicated, the darkest blue areas indicate those regions with the highest population density. So you can see there's just a smattering there in that upper region around that Wood County area. The total land area that we're looking at here is approximately 1,950 square miles with a total population throughout that area of 133,000 people. Looking in addition to being a largely rural area, West Virginia and this region particularly exhibits a lot of characteristics of an economically distressed population. As shown in this table, the percent of Mid-Ohio Valley residents receiving food stamps is over 20% in three of the six counties. County by county, between 13 to 33% of county residents did not have a high school diploma. And for the percent unemployment and percent living below the poverty level, as shown there, are also relatively high. The health statistics for the state are also rather grim. West Virginia tends to lead the nation in rates of chronic diseases such as diabetes, and we are consistently ranked within the top five for states with the highest rates of adult obesity and consistently within the top 10 as far as states with the highest rates of child and adolescent obesity. Looking at the Mid-Ohio Valley region in particular, YRBF data that was collected from surveys administered in 2010 indicate that approximately 14% of ninth graders and 17% of 10th graders ate fruits and vegetables five times or more per day. So only 14 to 17% of those adolescents met fruit and vegetable guidelines. Looking at regional data using similar questions from the BRFS, 10% of adults in the region met these guidelines. So definitely a lot of room, a lot of need to move the needle. The strategies listed here have been those used to target an increase in fruit and vegetable consumption and access. Interventions have been undertaken to improve access and availability while also using point of purchase promotion, media promotion, all targeting specific retail environments, like I mentioned, farmers markets, grocery stores, and convenience stores. Baseline data collection related to the food environment and this initiative thus far has involved documenting geographic access as well as documenting availability and quality within stores. So really some macro and micro level assessments of availability and accessibility. As far as our geographic access and assessments, we've gathered and established lists of the retail food environment using purchase data from InfoUSA as well as local health department food and food permit listings. These locations were then confirmed on the ground by our county coordinators who were out in the communities who could really go through a process of ground truthing. And we then categorized all of these locations using standard definitions from the literature and then geocoded, mapped these locations and plotted them against census data. And I just want to identify that we did use QGIS, which tends to be a nice tool to use, particularly in communities, because it is a freeware. So you can have the opportunity to build capacity within communities using this software. So it might not be something that would be as extensive and as expensive, but certainly meet their needs for assessing their own interventions moving forward. As far as availability and quality, the environmental audits we used, we trained all coordinators who went out into the field, use a measure based on Gland et al.'s NIMS-S measure, assessing again availability, quality, and pricing, and also assessed whether these locations accepted SNAP or WIC benefits. This represents the initial baseline results from our listing and polling of retail food environments. It's important to note that this is not a convenient sample. This represents the true universe within that region. So 26 grocery stores in total. I think in presenting some of this data to others who might live in more urban settings, that has been very surprising to see that it's 26 stores total. So that is an important point to make. I also draw attention to the four produce markets. There was the occurrence of these produce markets, which didn't quite fit into our category of a farmer's market because it would be one business selling fruits and vegetables, not in a seasonal manner, but at the same time didn't fall into the full spectrum of goods commonly seen at a grocery store. So this kind of highlighted a new market for us, new food environment, one that was not measured with our store observations, but one that we thought was important to include in our geographic analysis. This first slide displays the geographic locations of the grocery stores in the region. And looking back towards population density, you can see that those stars signifying the grocery stores really relate to some of the more population-dense areas. Taking population density a step further, we considered grocery store locations in relation to population clusters. So each of these translucent bubbles are based on census data for populated places, and that indicates those areas where you have clusters of inhabitants. So you nicely displayed population density in a different way. Looking at as the crow flies distances, as shown here by these lines, some of the more remote areas in each of these six counties are anywhere from 16 to 31 kilometers from a grocery store. And what's particularly important to note is not only with this being a very rural environment, but it's extremely mountainous. So when you're looking at 31 kilometers, that could easily be doubled because of the roadways. A straight road really does not exist in the state. I am very motion sick, and I have to attest to the fact that I constantly have to take Dramamine. Adding farmers markets, as shown here with the green dots, you can see that it does add some additional opportunities for access, but most of those farmers markets tend to be located in population-dense areas and areas where there are already grocery stores. Adding the 85 convenience stores now, kind of made this map a little bit more busy, the 85 convenience stores shown here as the purple dots, you can suddenly see the impact that these stores likely have on day-to-day eating behaviors because they are so accessible, but this also highlights a tremendous opportunity that exists for making fruits and vegetables available in these locations and further improving regional access. It's also important to note, looking at this slide here, the poverty rates that exist throughout this region. So not only looking at the geographic access, but considering that this is an economically disadvantaged community, that not only improving access, but making sure that access, that fruits and vegetables are affordable and that potentially WIC, SNAP, those kinds of things would be accepted in these locations is also important and a good take-home message from this particular slide. From our observations in stores, you can see here just a quick snapshot. The majority of the stores did, grocery stores did, accept WIC and SNAP vouchers. However, within the farmers markets, none of our farmers markets at baseline accepted EBT or debit cards. 33% did take WIC vouchers. And we found that mostly the farmers markets were open one day per week, an average of 4 hours with an average of 4 vendors. Looking at convenience stores, you can see there the percent of stores accepting food stamps and WIC. And most striking is that last bullet there, indicating only 8% of convenience stores sold fruits and vegetables at baseline. So all of this has really helped to kind of paint the story and further direct some of the plan intervention activities or reshape them. So the data utilization has been huge. The geographic data for the Mid-Ohio Valley food environment, along with the environmental audits, have been an important component for baseline evaluation, as indicated here, and will continue to do so moving forward. They've also been key for shaping the intervention strategies by further emphasizing key areas of need. Some of the current activities, so now taking that baseline data and looking at a snapshot of the now, what's currently happening in farmers markets is we're working, and the intervention team in Mid-Ohio is working to increase availability by increasing hours, opening up new locations, increasing the number of vendors, also looking to systematically include EBT machines in farmers markets throughout the region. In grocery stores, there's a lot of promotion activities looking to unconventional locations to promote and sell fruits and vegetables, such as healthy checkout aisles, removing the candy and junk foods with fresh fruits and vegetables, physical activity toys, to give another opportunity for buying, and that's been very positive. Also selling fruits and vegetables in other aisles, like dairy aisles and meat aisles. One grocer has said that he sells about 60 bananas a day now, and that's in addition to produce, just by providing another opportunity for consumers to purchase. And then finally, selling fruits and vegetables at convenience stores and engaging wholesalers and developing partnerships with the convenience store owners. And this data has actually been shared, the geographic data has been shared with the Board of Health in the Mid-Ohio Valley, and really got them excitable towards putting some sort of policy in place to create further and sustained change in the region. And these are just some examples of the partnership and the nice relationship that exists between the health department thanking some of their partners. This just represents some of the food stores in the area. For next steps, we do have follow-up observations that are ongoing, tracking our community policies and coding those a bit qualitatively, but certainly also tracking the numbers related to different health topics, tracking the environmental changes by going out, again, observing these convenience stores, farmers markets, and grocery stores. We'll continue the geospatial analysis to document changes and be able to look at it in that way as well as capturing some sales data from stores to look at business impact and consumer impact. Just in closing, to highlight some of our lessons learned and challenges, plotting the spatial access that really was a powerful message and one that's mentioned in the literature, but certainly came to light even more throughout this process because it became a really huge tool to communicate the areas of need and future directions for our stakeholders and even members of, you know, the evaluation team and those actually on the ground doing the interventions. That really brought it to light, particularly paired with the observations in the stores. But not only that the economic access is also huge and important. So really bringing all of that together really shapes the whole story of what's needed moving forward. It was also a bit of a challenge categorizing food stores, convenience stores particularly, because they were able to elect their code. In some cases, it was more of a gas station, so that did take a little bit of work there. Pharmacies, we've also noticed, have been becoming more and more of a food source for or a source for food shopping, and that's definitely been noted by Joe Sharkey and his work in rural food environments. But that has not been a target for data collection or interventions, but something that's been an important lesson learned that we've kind of seen as we go out as well, so that may be a future consideration. And sharing the baseline evaluation data and having this be a continuous collaboration, I think most importantly, has been key and offered a great opportunity to monitor and modify activities and timelines. Just in closing, I'd like to acknowledge our collaborators and partners, Joe Barker at the West Virginia Bureau for Public Health, our county coordinators who are really our people on the ground that we rely on so heavily and have been fabulous to the project, Dr. Richard Whitberg and Carrie Brainer at the Mid-Ohio Valley Health Department, as well as other staff, the food retailers who have been in collaboration with us on this project, and of course the CDC, the funding source for the Communities Putting Prevention to Work project.